Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Friends, welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 26, verses 23 to 28. Proverbs chapter 26, verses 23 to 28. Now, we studied this passage yesterday, and when we did, we looked at one part of it. Now, we're going to look at the other part of it. So, let's read the passage again and make some introductory comments to help us remember where we were, and then we'll go into the study. Proverbs chapter 26, let's read verse 23. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips and layeth up deceit within him. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Whose hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone it will return upon him. A lying tongue hateth those that are affected by it, or afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. Well, these are some very strong words coming from Solomon in the Bible. And what we want to do is we want to look very carefully at what it says. Now, a potsherd, from verse 23, a potsherd covered with silver dross is the picture of a man with burning lips and a wicked heart. A potsherd is a fragment or a piece of broken pottery. Dross is the worthless material that is removed from the silver when it is refined. It's lead or tin or something like that. So in this proverb, the dross covers the broken piece of pottery. But the truth is, both of them are absolutely worthless. So the covering, that is what comes out of the lips, the burning lips, the words that he speaks, covers what's underneath, that is, the wicked heart full of hatred. So the words and the heart are both worthless refuse. We're living today in a society that everybody wants to get along with everybody else. Nobody wants to confront anything. Nobody wants to rustle the feathers and that kind of thing. And so sometimes it's difficult to distinguish this guy. But usually it's the guy who sweet-talks you that you have to watch out for. Like we saw yesterday in Romans chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. They speak with good words and fair speeches, but you got to watch out for them because they're going to load you up with false doctrine and destroy you. The other problem is that man looketh on the outward appearance, and men know that, so they dress for success. They say what you want to hear. But God looketh on the heart, see, and so it's often very, very difficult to tell what's in the heart. Now, there are things in the Bible that will give you an indication. I mean, you know, by their fruits you shall know them and that kind of thing. So what do we detect about this kind of fellow from the text? You know, yesterday we saw the dross, the thing that the fellow uses to get to you so that he can destroy you. He uses dissimulation, which is hypocrisy, fair speech, deception, lies, flattery. Today we're going to look at the potsherd, that is the thing that is covered by the dross. We're going to look at the heart. And in this, you're going to find that the heart is wicked and deceitful and abominable and hateful, according to the text. Now, keep something in mind, all right? When the devil attacked the throne of God in heaven, the devil, at that time, was the anointed cherub that covered the throne from Ezekiel chapter 28. And he decided that he was going to ascend up to the hill of God and be like the Most High because he wanted to be worshipped like God. And he was cast out of heaven. So he came down here, and when he saw Adam and he saw Eve and decided that he would deceive them, see, and so forth, well, he appeared in the form of a serpent who was more subtle than any other beast of the field. And when he began to talk to Eve, listen, everything that he said to her was positive, positive, positive about her eating that tree. He said, "You shall not surely die." That's a positive thing. He said the tree is a tree to be desired to make one wise. It is a tree that's good for food. It's a tree that's pleasant to the eyes. That's what Eve saw in the tree. That's what he wanted her to see in the tree. He didn't want her to see the death and destruction and the junk that has happened to this world as a result of that deception. You know what? The devil hated Adam because in Adam he saw the image of what he saw in heaven that he lost. And he hated Eve, yet he came with a deception that made it, with his flattering words and his fair speech, look like he was somebody who was very concerned about this poor little woman who had been denied access to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Like he was on her side, like, in the day that you eat thereof, you shall be as gods, your eyes shall be opened, you shall know good and evil. And those, all the things that he said there are true. The only lie that he told is, you shall not surely die. He knew she would. He hated her, but he used dissimulation and deception and fair speech and lies and flattery to convince that woman to eat that fruit. Then she gave it to her husband, and now we all die and go through the sin and hell that we go through in this earth as a result of what the devil did to Eve. So let me tell you something. You better know that when you're in the company of a person who's flattering you and addressing you with fair speech and deception and lies and dissimulation, that you are dealing with a wicked, deceitful, abominable, hateful person. And you better be able to spot them. Because if you're not able to spot them and you're not able to detect their lies, you will fall for their lies, fall for their flattery, fall flat on your face. Now, the Bible says the heart of this person that uses this dross to cover his earthly clay, this broken vessel, is a wicked heart. Verse 23, burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. He's got a wicked heart. Now listen, did not Jesus Christ select 12 apostles to travel with him and to enter into the ministry with him? Yes, he did. Was not one of those 12 a fellow named Judas Iscariot? Yes, he was. Was not Judas Iscariot a devil? Yes, he was. But you know something? The other disciples didn't know it. They didn't know it the night of the Lord's Supper. They didn't have any idea who it was that was going to betray them. Judas Iscariot was so persuasive with his mouth that when Mary came in to anoint Jesus Christ before his burial, he said, why is this waste? Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? And the Bible says this, he said, not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and he had the bag. Do you know what happened as a result of Judas Iscariot starting that little conversation? The rest of the disciples chimed in, and when you read the other gospel accounts, you find out that they also criticized Mary for what she was doing under the influence of Judas Iscariot. He's the one that betrayed Jesus Christ. He's the one with the wicked heart. But who knew it, see? Who knew it? Nobody could tell it. Jesus said to him, even that night when he had dipped the sop, he said, that thou doest, do quickly. And everybody thought that Jesus Christ was sending him out on an errand to go buy something because he had the bag. You know, he was the treasurer. They could not tell from his outward appearance that his heart was as wicked as it was to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the problem, see? You can't tell the heart for the dross that is out on the outside because you're listening to what the person says rather than evaluating what's on the inside. Absalom was the same way. When Absalom came back into town and all the people came for judgment, he got all of them and kissed them, see, and greeted them with a fair speech and caused them to enjoy him because he flattered them. And he said, I wish somebody was around here to make all these judgments for you that was available. You know, the king's awful busy these days. So he kissed all the folks, but he ran his own father out of town. Who knew that when Absalom finally took the throne that he was going to sleep or lie with all of the concubines in public sight on top of the house so that everybody could see that he was despised in the eyes of his father and then seek to kill his own father, David, a man after God's own heart? They didn't know that because they listened to what he said. Wicked-hearted Absalom, wicked-hearted Judas Iscariot, wicked-hearted so-and-so today. See, and the trick is to figure out who he is. He's got a wicked heart no matter what he sounds like. You cannot be deceived by his speech. You've got to know his heart. Not only is his heart wicked, his heart is deceitful, according to verse 24. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips, that dissimulation there is to pretend, to be a hypocrite, to say one thing to one group to gain their favor, but in his own heart say to another group something that's totally opposite of that, that would be the truth to let you know that he hates those people. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips and layeth up deceit within him. He's got a deceitful heart. Like Adonijah. Now, I'm mentioning some of these people. You may have to go back and read the Old Testament to find out what happened with these men that we're mentioning. But Adonijah, in 1 Kings chapter 2, after Solomon had ascended to the throne by the selection of God Almighty, by the selection of David, came back and came to talk to Bathsheba. Now, Bathsheba was a little bit concerned about Adonijah coming back to talk to her in 1 Kings chapter 2 because Adonijah had already worked it out that he, as the oldest brother, was going to ascend to the throne after the death of David. And so David was dying, and Adonijah already got up a group, and he had some very powerful men with him, like Joab, the king's general. And he set up a deal where they were already saying, you know, God save the king to Adonijah. Well, Adonijah was deposed immediately when David stated that Solomon was going to be his successor on the throne, and then paraded him through the town on the king's mule and sat him on the throne. Everybody knew then it was Solomon, not Adonijah. So when Adonijah came back to talk to Bathsheba, Bathsheba was concerned. What are you doing here? Is it peace, Adonijah? You know what he said? It's peace. It's peace. It wasn't peace. He said that because he knew that's what she wanted to hear. She even passed his request on to the king. You know what he wanted to do? He wanted to marry Abishag, the virgin that had cared for David, his father, before David's death. You know why? Solomon figured out why, in spite of the fact that he said, it is peace. You know why? Because he knew that if he could marry Abishag, then people would recognize that he, in fact, was the rightful heir to the king, to the throne. Solomon figured that thing out right away, and he said, Adonijah, save your life by behaving, or you're going to die. I mean, it's bad stuff, man. Bad stuff. As a result of that deed, Solomon could see right through the problem and said to his own mother, if you give him Abishag, ask for him the kingdom also, for he's mine elder brother. And you know what he did? Adonijah spoke those words against his own life. And you know what happened? Adonijah was put to death by Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, for what he cooked up. Killed him. But you say, boy, that was sure a cruel thing for him to do just because he wanted to marry that virgin that had taken care of David. Not at all. Solomon could look past his little peaceful speech to Solomon's mother and detect the wicked deceitfulness that was in that man's heart and killed him. Today there would be an uproar if something like that happened. Something else about his heart. He's abominable, an abominable heart. Look at verse 25. When he speaketh fair, listen to the words of the Bible. Believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Well, that shows you that his heart is completely abominable if he says there's seven. When you read the Proverbs, you know, Solomon will say, six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination to him, right? Okay, well, when he says there are seven abominable things in his heart, he's telling you that the heart is completely and absolutely abominable. Now, the things that the Lord hates are seven, and they match these things. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Imaginations are portrayed by images. Feet that be swift and running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord among brethren. So we would certainly want to cross-reference the abominable heart of this fine-talking gentleman in Proverbs chapter 26, verse 25, with the abominable things that the Lord hates in the heart of a man in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 to 19. That's a good cross-reference there for you. So you say, oh, I wonder what the seven abominations are that are in his heart. They're already listed for you in another place. He's wicked, man. He's abominable is what he is. Now, you say, what kind of person would this be that would use his lips to be a false witness, to run swiftly, to shed innocent blood, to portray wicked imaginations, and to lie, and other things like we saw in Proverbs chapter 6. Well, I'll tell you what they are. And you may not like this, but listen, you have got to have some basis for knowing who to believe and who not to believe. All right? Here he is. First of all, anybody. Anybody in the media that uses his lips to turn this country away from its heritage and from the Lord to hedonism. You say, what's hedonism? Pleasure seeking. Where pleasure then becomes his God. You know, it's the condition of society right before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're lovers of pleasures more than they are lovers of God. And the media is real good about causing you to forget about history and using the lips of the talking heads to turn you away from the Christian heritage of this country and from the Lord to hedonism. And anybody in the media that would do that is somebody that uses his burning lips to speak fair, to get you to believe him, and Solomon says you better not believe him. He's got an abominable heart. All right, who else? Anyone in filmmaking. You know, I realize there are a lot of people that watch a lot of movies. And I'm going to tell you something about that. Those movies will condition your mind and condition your heart and condition your eyes. Anyone in filmmaking, theater, and music that uses his lips to promote the world and deify man, that is, make man out like the ruler, his best ruler, you know, to promote man, to exalt man, and tear up the morals and godliness of this country and of people's lives, that's who you got to watch out for. You know why? Because, you know, this Bible says that a man that would do these kind of things is hateful. He hates righteousness and he hates God. That's why the actors all violate the third commandment and take the name of God in vain. Have you ever noticed that? Everybody cusses. They all say GD, GD this and GD that and Jesus Christ this and Jesus Christ that. All is expletives. Why? They're exalting man, promoting the world and tearing up the morals and godliness of the society. They like evil and they hate good. Anybody like that has an abominable heart, no matter how much you like what comes out of his lips, whether he's in filmmaking, theater, or music. Anyone with this abominable heart, you say, how do I detect him? Anyone on a judicial bench that upholds pornography, abortion, homosexuality, gambling, or other forms of godlessness as right and just, and then who condemns the Ten Commandments as a violation of the Establishment Clause. That guy is abominable in his heart, no matter how much you like what comes out of his mouth. He hates God's authority. He hates God's justice. He hates equity, and he wants himself to be the final authority in his own arrogance and pride. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Anyone in politics whose platform is to destroy the conservative values of our society and turn this country into a socialistic feminist society where children have the right to oppress the citizens legally. You'll read about that in Isaiah. If you go to the book of Isaiah and you read Isaiah, you find out that when a society is falling completely apart, this is what happens, Isaiah chapter 3, verse 12. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. Let me tell you something. I'm very concerned. Not that I'm showing the position of my politics, but the big historic occasion that has happened politically now is that the Senate is being ruled by a woman who let children hold her gavel to show her sincerity for the children's rights. That's a scary thing. I don't know what she's going to do with it, but I'm going to tell you, you better pay attention to Isaiah chapter 3, verse 13, and you better not listen so carefully to what comes out of the mouth. You better start checking the heart, because anyone in politics whose platform is to destroy the conservative values of our society and turn this country into a socialistic feminist society where children have the right to oppress the citizens legally is somebody with an abominable heart. Listen, a person like that hates Jesus Christ and the fact that Jesus will one day rule this world. That's what they don't like. Herod did not like the fact that Jesus Christ was born King of the Jews and killed every baby male boy in Bethlehem up to the age of 2 years. Wow, you say, how did something like Judah get into a shape like that? From listening to people who lie with their lips, you see. All right, here's the next. Anyone in the pulpits of America who uses his perceived authority as a preacher as a God-given right to attack the words of God and turn the faith of Christians from God's words to the scholarship of men. When a man says, the Bible's better translated this way or that way, you know what he's telling you? I am the judge. I am the authority. God's words are not. This is the better translation. This is what he meant to say. This is what it should say. This is what I got out of the Greek. You better watch that. He hates God's words, and he wants men to worship his scholarship, and he wants the Bible to say what he wants it to say. You say, now, though, that's a powerfully rude statement. You better believe it is. It absolutely is, because it runs contrary to everything that's going on in this Christian society today, where everybody's being lulled to sleep by liars who are attacking God's words to replace God with their own authority. That's how Judah, Jerusalem, and Samaria, and Israel got into the trouble that they got into. People quit listening to God's words, and they started listening to man's words. Hey, Ahab, when he tore up Israel, had 850 prophets who were not speaking for God. And everybody just went right along with it. You say, who do we need to watch out for with the abominable heart? Anyone in the schools, teachers, that is, administrators, who advances the false science of evolution for a living, warping the minds of students to turn them to the worship of the creature and not to the Creator. You know why? Because that person hates and despises the God of the Bible, who is the Creator of the universe. He won't tell you that. He would never admit that. He would never admit that he hates the God of the Bible, who's the Creator of the universe. But he does, because he's willing to draw a large, handsome salary to lie to the students and warp their minds into believing that they should be worshiping the creature rather than the Creator. How do you think we got laws that require men to pay $100,000 fines for killing bald eagles, and nobody pays nothing for killing babies? This is a messed up society. How did we get in that messed up state where they're in? People started believing the lies and fair, good speeches of the people in positions of authority and leadership, and quit paying attention to what was in their heart. Anyone in politics or the military that promises peace, you got to watch out for them. Why? They hate the enemy, and they are bent on using every force to wipe him out. When they say peace and we want to go over there and we're going to make peace, don't you know they carry bullets in their guns and ammunition and ordnance in their tanks and jets? They are out to kill. And when they say peace and safety, the Bible says, then sudden destruction cometh. These words, peace and safety, are the buzzwords today, and they are the deadliest words of our day. They say peace and safety. I'll tell you what's in their heart. What's in their heart is war. And they want you to foot the bill, and they will blow up and kill anybody that stands in their way. You say, I just can't even believe it. I just can't even imagine it. Believe it. Imagine it. It's Bible, and the Bible says absolutely everything contrary to the way and direction that our society is going in every position of leadership that you can imagine. The heart is abominable. God doesn't like it. Not only that, the heart is hateful. Verse 28, a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. He has no problem telling you that he loves you. Whoever of these that I'm just mentioned to you, he has no problem telling you that he loves you. But the love of many, the Bible says, shall wax cold as iniquity increases before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. He can't hide forever. Verse 26 says, whose hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. He can't hide forever. His hatred shall be shown to the whole congregation. They'll know when the pit he dug consumes him, and when the stone he rolled rolls over him. This country is being destroyed by the lips of the men who hate this country for what it stands, and hate the God that has blessed this country throughout its history. They've dug a huge pit into which they will fall, and the stone that they have rolled will crush them. Look what happened in Jerusalem and Judah when the men turned their backs on God. They were absolutely destroyed. They worshiped pictures back in those days. Today we call them moving pictures. They worshiped the money of their economy. They allied themselves with their future enemies. They had politicians who turned them to a feminist society and let the children run wild. They had courts that no longer followed the judgments of God, but judged according to what was right in their own eyes. They killed their babies. They let the morals of the country fall into complete decay, and they fell to the ground. God destroyed them for their wickedness. And the prophets who condemned them for their wickedness were considered the bad guys and the destroyers of the society. The people called evil good and good evil, and they turned their ears and hearts away from the men of God. It's no different here today. And when you finally realize all of these voices who say they love you and love America finally reap the full harvest of their doings, you will finally see their true hatred for you and everything you stand for if you stand for God. The devil has spent his entire earthly ministry lying about the words of God and lying about how much he cares for us. He hates God, he hates the words of God, and anyone who would venture to even inquire as to the truth of God's words, he hates. In time, it will be exceedingly clear what he's been up to these past 6,000 years. When he winds up in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years and then in the lake of fire for eternity, then everybody's going to figure out he was a liar, like Jesus Christ told the Pharisees when he was here on the earth. He will have brought the whole mess on his own head and on the head of every other person who was willing to believe his lies, preaching love and hiding hatred with lying lips. It's abominable, the Lord says. Listen, listen, listen. You have got to pay attention to what's going on around you and consider the heart condition of any man that would draw you in any capacity away from God and away from God's words. You understand? The words of God are recorded in an authorized King James Bible. That's where you're going to find the truth of God's words. And when men start veering from that, they start building a pattern and a gallows of wickedness that will hang every creature that's willing to follow them. Don't get caught up in their lies. Listen to their heart and check them by the words of God. You will be glad you did.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.